Pact is back with its first Afterglow production for 2018, On the Border of Things. Creator and artist James Nguyen navigates us through the journey of food production and how it connects consumers on a global scale. Some would say it's food for thought, and James joins us now. Good morning, James.
Hi, Sophie. Morning.
Morning. Now, what inspired this journey into food?
Basically, I put in a proposal for Pact because I just wanted to reconnect with my uncle, who basically was estranged from us for maybe about 20 years. And because he worked as a fruit picker in kind of like country Victoria and New South Wales, it kind of evolved into this thing that was kind of about food and kind of about reconnecting with family. That's basically it.
I mean, this is a 3-year development. That's quite a long journey.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty unique because, like, most artworks and, I guess, residencies and opportunities have very high turnover. So with this, it's been a privilege to kind of, like, sit on it and kind of, like, develop this slowly. And also because the thing is that reconnecting with my uncle, who I haven't seen in a long time, it probably needed something that was much longer. If it was kind of like a 1-month residency, like it wouldn't have worked.
No, that makes sense. But what kind of foods or cuisines have the greatest backstories for you, and what can you discover what kind of inspired this show in a way?
Basically it's just the romanticism and I guess mythologies that we have of other people. So because I haven't seen my uncle since I was a little kid in Vietnam, I always assumed that he was this kind of amazing heroic character for not following the usual kind of migrant path and just, you know, going into the country to, you know, pick grapes and work on orchards and stuff. But working on it over time, lots of really interesting things about food came up and about a relationship as well.
In what way was he like kind of different to the usual way for people who aren't familiar with that?
I guess like because he tried to get to Australia by boat and failed, so my parents actually spent a lot of money and time to get him over here. And I guess because of that amount of money and resource going into one person, taking them over, there was like really high expectations, both from, I guess, my parents and also from society that, you know, when you're given this opportunity, you make the most of it. And for a lot of immigrants, like to be a good citizen, you educate yourself, you learn English, you basically assimilate into the culture, and then you improve yourself and go to university and, you know, get a proper job rather than
I know that. That runs in my family too.
So it's this whole pressure of, you know, having to prove yourself to be a worthy citizen. And not enough values placed on, you know, like the work that is not, you know, academic, or it's not, you know, like white collar. Because like without people who work in the food industries and without people's labour in all these industries, like Australia would be, you know, struggling, I guess.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And on this 3-year journey, what kind of surprised you, like in terms of the mythologies behind modern food production?
For me, the thing that jumps out most is that, like, people are now obsessed with kind of, like, the quality and the provenance of their food. So, you know, they want to know exactly where the wine comes from, or, you know, where the fish was caught, and, you know, what the fish's name was. But at the end of the day, like, no one ever talks about kind of, like, the labour that goes into the actual making of that and how much people are paid for that labor. And also the other thing is that no one talks about how much the waiter that brings that food to you gets paid. You know, like, are they getting award wages on the weekends, or, you know, like, how are they being compensated correctly? So, so these things kind of, like, emerged as I hung out with my uncle, and, you know, I just became a little bit more aware of it. And I guess I was one of those people who thought, you know, like, I was really into my food, but I'm like, I really have no idea. And the other really interesting thing is that, like, going on, like, visits to farms and stuff, like, you realize how much, like, chemicals and things like that are kind of, like, built into our food production, and it's kind of unavoidable. Like, when I was in Vietnam, like, they use a lot of pesticides and herbicides, and I was kind of shocked. But then when I came back to Australia, I realized they use quite a lot as well. Like, it's much more, I guess, controlled, monitored and managed. But, there is a lot of chemicals and things that get put into our food systems. It is kind of crazy. Like, all the glyphosates that end up being part of, I don't know, like, all the veggies that we eat. Like, it's kind of something we might need to think about. Because, I mean, like, if you have your own garden, like, if you have the privilege of having enough land to grow your own veggies, like, you know how hard it is. Like,
oh my gosh.
Everything that comes out gets eaten by, like, cockatoos or, you know, like, caterpillars and stuff. And so you've got this...
Can't even keep a multiplant alive and living.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, the abundance of food comes from this, you know, a highly industrialized process, I guess. So, yeah, and I guess we don't really appreciate what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For audiences going to your show, do you think it will kind of change the eating experience for them?
I don't think so. Like, this is just the kind of like the first part of the project. And so the show that I'm trying to set up now is basically just to give a little bit of background and kind of like a context to the relationship between me and my uncle. And I think more of these things would emerge a little bit later on. But yeah, like, it's kind of like I'm trying not to, like, beat people over the head with with guilt, because that's not fun. I never enjoy that.
No. So you mentioned the first part is going to be at PACT, but the second part you're going to debut at the Next Wave Festival. How much of a gap is it between the two parts?
Luckily, it was a couple of months.
So people don't have to go too far to get their answer.
So it's in May, and I'm still, like, working it out. It's not like I have this, you know, like, amazing plan.
Coming to the actual show aspect itself, it blends video and live performance. So how do you kind of capture your journey into video and live performance in this way?
Yeah, like, generally, like, people use, like, when people use video in performance, they kind of, like, integrate it. But I felt that maybe it's a little bit too complex, especially with, like the language issues between my uncle and I. So I thought for this, I'm just going to keep it as simple and straightforward as possible, just so that it's not too confusing. And then once people get a context and a feel of kind of like my uncle and my, like, our relationship, then I open up the space, and then people see the installation, and then they have time to kind of, like, formulate their own reading and experience, I guess. Because I sometimes, like, in a lot of work, like, I feel really overwhelmed. So I thought maybe this one I'll take kind of, like, the opportunity to keep as, you know, simple, straightforward as possible.
You mentioned the language barrier. Now, this show is actually both in English and Vietnamese. How did you kind of balance that out? So for people who don't know Viet at all.
It was working with PACT, like, it was a lot of problems, because that's why I guess I I was thinking about keeping it really simple. Like, I start off with a monologue in English, and then, you know, like, I'm going to do direct translation of my uncle's, like, perspectives, like, in and stories in the videos. But eventually it'll become a little bit more complex. But I think for kind of, like, the context part of it, I think it's pretty important just to be as direct as possible. That's kind of like what I got out of the development process through PACT. Yeah, like at the start I was trying to like make it really poetic and, you know, it's just, it turned to shit.
Well, you don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, so I think sometimes it's just nice to be kind of like direct and generous to the public and then give them space to think and process it. I think that's a nicer approach rather than, like, discombobulate people.
I think it's a great approach. But James, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. Can't wait to see the show.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Sophie, for having a chat.